Father, we want to thank you for having spoken to us this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for this time of worship, this time of Lord being with you. Lord, even as the psalmist, we come here to be in your presence. Lord, I just humble myself before your mighty hand. And Lord, I pray that you would send forth the anointing of teaching, Lord, to teach your people your word. Holy Spirit, you alone can teach and you alone can reveal. Lord, we pray that whenever your word is spoken, Lord, there is hope, there is faith, there is life for us in you. And we thank you, Lord God, that we heard that your word is all power when you receive it, Lord God, with faith. And we receive your word tonight, today, Lord, with faith, knowing that your word is able to effectually work within each one of us. We promise you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you interested in the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are a wonderful man of the word. Amen. But the Lord asked me to minister this, and I don't find myself strong enough to minister a word like this. But I'm just trusting in the grace of God, because I believe that we need this. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe it will be a big help for us. I won't be preaching it. I'll be just trying to share with you, but I believe that this is needed for each one of us today. Amen. And that is a word which we have heard many a time, but somewhere on the line again, which God has been stirring up inside of me, on the fact that we have to keep ourselves holy unto God. Amen. And I know some of you really struggle with it. And week after week, come knowing that God can move and set us free. But I believe from the world, we also need to very strongly see what God is trying to tell us here, so we can be truly dedicated unto Him. And let me tell you, when I preach this, never think for a minute that I am strong or that I am a mighty victorious person in this area. Never. I am just leaning upon my Lord, trusting in His grace, in His strength, in His anointing to minister this word. And not the way that I usually preach, but I just pray that I'll be able to minister this with the humility of my spirit before the Lord, so that this word will go forth to be a blessing unto you. Amen.
Amen.
And you can call it any way that you like it. Either how to be holy unto God, or how to keep yourself from sexual sin. Whatever way you want to call it, you can. But we need to. Amen. And we need the grace of God. Each one of us, we are dependent upon the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If anyone thinks he's strong, let him pray that he might not fall. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. The Lord is coming for a glorious church, having not a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to a tape by John MacArthur where he says that once he went to pray for a person, and this person was about 78 years old, a believer, a 78-year-old man. And while he was praying for the 78-year-old man, suddenly this man, the pastor asked him, "Are you ready to meet the Lord? I know you are in your sick bed. I know the Lord can heal you, and I'm going to pray for healing. But are you ready in your heart to meet the Lord?" And suddenly this man began to cry. And the pastor asked him, said, "What is it that you're crying? What? Are you not ready inside?" And then he said, "I'm 78 years old, I'm a believer, but all through these years I've struggled with pornography. And I've never been able to have victory over it. Now when it comes to this point of me going to meet the Lord, I am not very sure in my heart. I feel as if there is a blemish in my heart. And I need to have the blood of Jesus cleanse me. And I want to be ready to be the church, the glorious church, without a spot, a wrinkle, or a blemish. Amen. Imagine he's 78 years old and he didn't have the temptation that we have today. Some of us young people have. He was not living in a TV industry time. Not in a time when pornography was easily accessible by the computer or things like that. He was living in a time when those things were not as largely available as it is now. Amen. But still as a believer, he went through the secret habit, a secret sin, and he was struggling with it. Amen. Now, for in Christ we have victory over it, but we need to understand from Scripture how we can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody interested here?
Amen.
Now, when you look to the Bible in the book of Job, chapter 1, remember this message is never to just point out your sin. You know your sin, don't you? Amen. We know our sins. We know our struggles. And I'm glad we have a Savior who is compassionate. When he saw the crowd oppressed by the enemy, his heart was moved with compassion. And he sees your struggle. He knows how to get you through into a place of victory. And he's outlined by the Holy Spirit in his word, and which we need to know. And I, as a preacher here, am called to declare it to you. Amen. Now, when you look to the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we know that word. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now look at this man Job. This is the testimony that God has got about him. God says he fears me. He keeps away from evil. This is the testimony that I have of him. The conversation in heaven. God having a conversation with the devil. God saying, listen, this is the guy that I love, I respect. Look at him. He fears me. He keeps away from evil. He knows how to handle his life well. But we know what happened. Amen. Even though he was a righteous man, he went through a severe crisis in his life. When you find that storm came, destroyed his wealth, his children, his family, everything is torn apart. Sometimes good, bad things happen to good people. And it might not necessarily be because of their sin. This man was righteous. God had a testimony about him saying this man is righteous. But he went through that struggle. Amen. Where he saw everything fall apart around his life. Now what I want to highlight is this. When it came to the point of everything falling apart around him, his three friends come and they try to comfort him. His wife was trying to comfort. She was actually saying to him, curse God and die. Who needs an enemy when you have a wife like that? Praise God. Hallelujah. But look at this man. He is worshipping the Lord, and his three friends come. They wait for 7 days because the grief of Job was so intense, they couldn't speak to him. After 7 days, they're opening their mouth and they're accusing this guy. They're saying it is because of this, it's because of that. They're saying a lot of reasons why this all happened to him. When God had a good testimony about him, which Job did not know, his friends are saying something that is truly contrary to what God had said about Job. And finally, Job is saying, listen, this little comfort is you are all. Amen. Now what I want to highlight is this. Amidst all this conversation, after they had, all three of them had spoken, Job is saying something, and that is the 31st chapter of Job. So amidst the testimony of the Lord about Job, and the testimony of the people about Job, his friends about Job, Job is saying something, and this is what he's saying. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? He had 10 children. Some people think that only when you are young you have temptation. This guy had 10 children and still he say, I've made a covenant with my eyes, how can I look with lust of a woman? And what I want to show is this. He is going on to mention a lot of things there. And then the whole chapter and verse 32nd chapter and verse 1, this is how he ends it. So these three men ceased answering Job because Job was righteous in his own eyes. Amen. Amen. See, after all they had said,
bad about Job. Listen, Job, this is because of your sin. This is because of your, wrong things that you've done. All that. Finally, amidst the testimony of God and amidst the testimony of the people, Job is standing and saying, listen, I know I have kept my life now. My conscience is clear. My inner man is telling me, I've led a life that is righteous. Are you with me? See, what am I trying to tell you? Amidst the battle that's going on outside, finally, not what people say, nor is it not what God has said, we can't even hear it sometimes. It's finally what matters is how you have kept your life inside. Holiness begins from inside. It had nothing to do with outside. Job is saying, listen, you can say anything, but this is how I kept my life. I know it. You hear that? It begins in your heart. If you're looking for a place where you say, okay, listen, all the temptations needs to go, all the science in the computer that is wrong needs to go, there shouldn't be MTV and WIT TV on my TV channel. Listen, that will be there. That will only go when Jesus comes and takes you and me to be with Him. But holiness begins when you are able to say deep within inside, this is how I manage my life. This is how I have kept my life. This has got something to do with me inside. You get that? Now, let's just look to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look in the New Testament about a mighty man of God by the name of Paul. Now, Paul, Second Corinthians chapter 1. See, Job was attacked by his friends. Are you with me? But here is Paul attacked by his enemies. And what does Paul have to say? Now, Second Corinthians chapter 1. And before I come to 1, read through the 4th chapter. And verse 2. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, Paul is writing, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, Paul is saying, listen, I've been attacked by every side. The first chapter you will find attacked by enemies from every side. And he's saying, listen, there's an attack. Not only Job had an attack from friends, but he had an attack from his enemies. Saying every kind of attack is against me. People are saying that I'm inciting violence, that I'm against religions, that I'm creating trouble wherever I go, that I'm not a holy person, that I am an impure person, that I'm not a good man. People are saying all kinds of things about me. But Paul is saying, listen, I know what is inside of me. Are you with me? I have renounced the hidden things of shame. Amen. I renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I like that. Another first chapter and verse 12. We're just starting to study here. And I believe the Spirit of God will help you. Amen. 12 verse, for our boasting is just the testimony of our conscience. In the heavenly court we have our God as our judge. But in the earthly court, the greatest of courts is your inner man, conscience. And Paul is saying, listen, my conscience is clear. Would you be able to say that? Would you be able to say that when you stand? My conscience, I know the way I've lived my life. Paul is saying, listen, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. He's saying, listen, outside, let people speak whatever they have to. Let them say all kind of wrong things about me. I cannot change it. But deep within in my own conscience, I know how I have kept my life. The battle is never outside, it's inside. Are you with me? You have to have the victory inside. What you're looking for when you come for a meeting is most of the time it happens. You come for a ministry which believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which believes in the power of God, which believes in the anointing that breaks through you. You come into ministry and you expect something supernatural to happen outside of you, and forget that God wants to be right inside of you. Amen. See, when you look at your life, you're accountable to a lot of people, aren't you? Aren't you accountable to a lot of people? If you're a wife, you're accountable to your husband. If you're a child, you're accountable to your parents. Parents, you're accountable to your children, the way you lead your life. Yes? As a ministry here, I'm accountable. You're accountable. We have a lot of things to which we are accountable. Amen. I have to be accountable to my parents, to elders of the Lord, ministers of the gospel, of the gospel. It's a lot of accountability. But none of them, no matter how they much love me or how much they know me, would know what's inside of me. Did you hear that? In the house, you as a husband can really be kind of holy. But deep inside of you, you might be accountable, you might be fulfilling the task of your husband as a husband. Everything, but deep inside of you, suddenly you feel there is an accountability. And that accountability is to your conscience. Amen. We are all accountable before God, but down here on earth, amen. My conscience, the battle is inside, the trouble is inside. Whew. Do you enjoy this word?
Amen.
I wish I could just preach something nice and good and send you out. Believe me, this is one word, you know. Usually preachers have a problem preaching on holiness because there is a saying, you know, whatever you preach, you attack right there. And I said, Lord, my God, help me. Inside. Amen. Let's look to one more scripture. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown brings forth death. Therefore do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Amen. Another scripture, don't we? You are tempted by your own inner man desires. It's beginning inside. You're drawn away from inside. You can't stand and say, listen, something happening outside. It is because that person dressed that way that I got tempted. That's on the way. Amen. Deep inside. Now, how do we deal with it? One, we realize it has to begin inside. That's why the Lord said, blessed is the pure in heart. It has to begin inside. How do we deal with it? Anybody interested in this?
Amen.
You know, we are looking for what we call instant Christianity. It only takes a second to be born again, but Christianity is not instant. To be Christ-like takes a lifetime. Amen. So, what? Time and again we come for something instant. Just pray a blessing on me. Get me the anointing and let me go. But God says, that's not the way. Let me deal with you. I want to change you from inside out so you can be more like Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There are a lot of things inside of you. Okay? Which cause you to be enticed. And one of the things which the Bible speaks about that causes trouble inside is what we call past sins. Now let's look through it scripturally. See, sometimes you thank God for good memory, but we should also thank God for bad memory. Sometimes you rather forget what you've done in the past, which is really coming up again and again inside of you when you're alone. Amen. You know that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all that. You know it theoretically, you know it by faith,
You know it as a belief system, but deep within, when you're alone, when you're under a pressure point in your life, or when you're going through a struggle, you know, suddenly, boom. What you've done in the past suddenly comes up. And you go through this struggle inside. You don't know what to do with it. See, sometimes you sin by remembering the past. Are you with me? There's something to be dealt with. Now let's go through it scripturally. Now with the book of Ezekiel, it speaks about two women in harlotry or in uncleanness. And the 23rd chapter of Ezekiel, the two sisters, two harlot sisters, that's how the heading of the chapter is, Ezekiel 23. Now, one of them is said about her, is said in the 19th verse, 23rd chapter of Ezekiel, 19th verse. It says here, yet she multiplied her harlotry in calling to remembrance the days of her youth. Are you with me? When she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. Did you find that? Yet she multiplied her harlotry in calling to remembrance the days of her youth when she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. So here is this woman. It was a past sin, a past what she had done, the wrong, sinful act that she had done, that by remembering that was causing her to sin in the present. How many of you would think of that, please? Amen. Hallelujah. What she had done in the past, it came up. And I heard a preacher say, the devil likes to recycle the past. It's to recycle the past. And when you're kind of feeling weak or tired or kind of lonely or dejected or sitting there, one of those days when you feel that nobody's there for you, your mind wants to find some kind of comfort, suddenly what you've done about is recycled back in your mind. You want to think, where does this come from? I thought it was forgiven. I thought it was just forgiven. The Lord forgave it. Are you with me? Then there is what we call this is the past sins. Then there is the prospect of sinning in the future. Amen. Look at this scripture in Psalm 37 where it says, in my bed, I quoted sin in Psalm 37. Where the psalmist is saying, listen, in my bed, I was lying and I was making plans on how to sin. You get it? The past sins is a future prospect. Not a healthy prospect, not a holy prospect, but the enemy puts in a thought, stirs up your desire, and there's this thing about what you can do. I would think. See, many people I saw are scared to take a commitment of the Lord and step out for full-time service in the Lord. You know why? Because of this fear. Whether they let down the Lord somewhere along the line. Because in their mind, without them realizing, their mind plots sin. And they're scared to deal with it. So we have a past, present. Now let's hey. This is what was premeditated sin. Are you with me? Now look to Psalms 19. 1:9. Verses 13 and 14. Psalms 19, 13 and 14. Keep back your servant also from with sumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This is the future. Then there is this thing called the present sin. Past, present, future. The present, that's where the fantasy of the mind comes in. Okay? Now, in Genesis 6 and verse 5, it speaks about during Noah's time, how the imagination of the people at that time was bent towards evil. It's present. At that time, the imagination, the thoughts, was bent towards evil. And that's what happens. Some people, they can be sitting in a place of worship, they can be listening to a word, but their mind is somewhere else. And suddenly the preacher shouts, and amen. Hallelujah. Who will be the Proverbs 24:9? We're just looking at a lot of scriptures today. And I believe those scriptures by itself are saying anything. The devising of foolishness itself is sin. Proverbs 24:9. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. The devising of foolishness, that's why David said, create me a clean heart, O God, when you are right before me. Amen. Now, what happens if you're losing ground in the inner hand? I'm just taking this as a gap to your life so that God will help you and help me in carrying this on. Amen. Deal with it. Deal with it. Amen. What happens if you're losing ground inside? What do you need to do to reclaim the lost land or get back your inner man in rightness with God? One, confess your sin. Confess your sin and forsake it. Some people say, listen, let me first see the signs of victory, let me first send something out. No, deal with it right inside. I am confessing before the Lord. Call a spade, not an agreeable to truth. Amen. If you're praying and you're alone, then speak it out to the Lord audibly. If you're in a congregation, don't say it loudly. Amen. If you're with the Lord alone, in the room, speak it, call it as it is, lust, wrong, fornication, it's adultery, this is not right, wrong, somebody else's wife, somebody else's woman, somebody else's man, I shouldn't, call it, say it out, deal with it, are you with me? Yes, to begin right inside, say it out, say it right there. Amen. Proverbs 28 and verse 3 says, Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, if you confess your sin and forsake it, you shall find mercy. Amen. I have one translation which says, if you confess your sin and forsake it, you shall find the healing. Amen. Confession. If it's a repetitive kind of habit or a pattern in your life, break it. By confession. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Choose. Do not expose yourself to evil attraction.
It doesn't look very thrilling. Are you with me? But don't expose yourself. You know, I like what my uncle shared with me about Billy Graham, one of Billy Graham's books. He said, the first look is going to help it. The second one you can. Second one you can. It's always, always easy to have the victory in the beginning. Don't get trash into you which you will have to pull, like, pull it out. Are you with me? Some people over years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, they've been trashing their lives with the filth of this world. And suddenly come to the Lord. They give their hearts. It's so hard to get it all out. You know that God can do it. Amen. Regeneration can take it. It's so hard. Consider the works of men. By the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the path of the destroyer. Amen. By the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the... Yeah, so what God is saying is, my word is going to declare to you. Now don't say, Lord, do something about it. You keep yourself from the Father. Amen.
Amen.
See, if God wanted you to be a robot, He could have made you a robot. And tuned you in such a way that when you see evil, you still walk on straight without looking into it. He didn't. Are you with me? Why? Because He desired obedience. So He says, my word is here. If you, you know, I think a couple of weeks back I shared about the life of Joseph. What God had to teach him was this, and what Joseph tells us is this: escape the bait and you don't have to struggle in the snare. Say that with me, escape the bait and you don't have to struggle in the snare. For Jacob's wife came repeatedly, but he escaped the bait, so he didn't struggle in the snare. Third thing. This is so simple. Your outcome in life is in direct proportion to the intake of the Word of God. What goes in, comes out. Say that with me. What goes in? Comes out. And so, feed on the Word of God. I remember the time, you know, in the beginning stages of this ministry here, every day people used to come for evening service meeting. We had meetings on every day. And I wouldn't teach them anything except just to give them the word. And because they were hungry for the word, they were taking the word, gulp it down, just swallow it, just click it in. There was a pressure for them. And without them realizing, nobody had to teach them the ABC of walking between heaven and which week. When they go back home, their mind is thinking of the word. When they're trying to sleep, the word of God is burning inside of them. It was like a fire. But after some time, they got so used to all that, they lost that respect for the word and the beauty of the word, knowing it's a treasure. So what happens? Now you just come to hear a message. You want to hear something nice? Go. But you can have victory only on the word. Are you with me? How can a young man, Psalm 119, 9 to 11, how can a young man keep his life pure? Oh Lord, I treasure your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. To treasure the word. Are you with me? Get into that place and once again, just treasuring the word, just where you, you know, taking that word. Receive that word and, you know, saturate yourself in the word.
I was just looking at the Bible. Some people don't even open their Bible till next week. After a Sunday meeting, you go. On Friday, you take up that. Your attitude towards the Bible shows your attitude towards the Lord. Are you with me? How you respect the Lord shows how you respect and love the Lord. And why some of you are not having your victory in life is because you have forgotten the simple things of your walk with God. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You need to spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word of God. You need to start afresh again into the Gospels. Go through the Gospels again. Look to Jesus. The four things, simple. I'm speaking simple things today. Four. Once again, cultivate that love with Jesus. Are you with me? See, love of the Lord is never an emotion, it's just not a nice good feeling. Nowhere in the Bible is what we are dealing with in the first service or the second coming of the Lord. It's never a good feeling. We can have an emotional experience of the Lord, but not have a real, genuine love for the Lord. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Amen. It never speaks about a feeling or a good feeling or a high five feeling that you have with God. Amen. It's a genuine obedience to the Word of God. You cultivate that. See, love is never an emotion, it's never a feeling, it's a decision. Say that with me. Love is a decision. It's a decision. Do you know that? It's a decision. Every day you have choices. Every day you have doors of opportunity to either walk with God or to walk with the devil, to walk in holiness or to walk in unholiness. It is a decision. Lord, I choose you above everything else. It's not instant Christianity that we're speaking about. Sometimes it can be a feeling that you have in your mind over years when you have come into a ministry where the glory of God begins to move through. People are falling by the power. People are being touched by God. Prophecies are being given. And you feel, oh, great, that's all I want. But God is interested more in you. He wants to form Christ in you. It's Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. See, cultivate that love with the Lord. In the Gospel of John chapter 21, let's just look at it. It says here, I've shared it a couple of weeks back. Jesus in the boat. Peter had gone away from the Lord. The Lord comes by the river and says, Peter, have you caught nothing? Peter, have you caught anything? He says, nothing. You know that? Amen. When you're without the boat, you get nothing. Now what happens? Listen to this. He receives the fish, then he's faced with a decision. Do I stay with the fish or do I go to the Lord? He swam 300 meters through the water to be with the Lord. Amen. He didn't stop with the blessing. He went to the one who blessed him. He swam and reached out to the Lord. Now that's not what I want to highlight here. When he came to the Lord had something prepared for him. We all know that. But then comes to these words in John 21, 15 to 17. Where the Lord is asking him over that fire, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He says, yes Lord, I do. I go for your meeting time. I like it. I go for your meeting. I hear your word. I love that catfish. I like it. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Yes Lord, you know it. I love you. I pray, yeah. In the morning, I just spoke in other tongues a couple of minutes back. I like everything. That's good. Again, the Lord asked him a third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all this? And this the Bible says. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. One version says, Lord, you know what is in my heart. You know everything, Lord. It's just not something outwardly. You know everything in my heart. Imagine that. Everything in your heart. Amen. And this is the message today. Amen. The first part of it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To have your altar burning. To have the fire of God's love in your heart. Now what most people want
See, most people, what they want is like a young man who fell into a ditch full of filth. This young man is like filth. One of his friends comes by his side and says, can I give you a hand? Can I help you? He says, No. Can I help you out of that ditch? Can I help you out of that filth? No. Why is it? I'm scared I'll fall again. No, I want to help you, sir. I want to help you get back into the safety of this good land. No. Don't speak much. Listen, I'm comfortably. I got my feet on the ground at least. The dirt is only till here. I can breathe. I'm happy here. I can say the praise of the Lord and the hallelujah. But just don't make too much noise and put all that dirt on my face. Now I can breathe. I'm safe here. I'm secure. I know my feet is somewhere here. Are you with me? It's like some believers. All they want to do is be there. Give the grace to the Lord. I can praise God. You preach it, I put it on the month and you want to get it. Come on. If a dog came and bited you, would you hit the dog or yourself? Would you deal with that problem? Or would you eat yourself? Some of you are facing the attack of the enemy and you're eating yourself. You're dealing with it. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what God put into my heart today. And if you are genuinely wanting to offer your heart, I'm not speaking about your head. Mother, noise and deep down. Amen. Deal with it inside. Amen. Then pray with me. Let's pray together. Blessed of the Lord today. Let's pray. Do this every Sunday, but let's do that today. Hallelujah. Let's pray from your heart. You're all believers in this place, but you just offer your heart and just pray. Pray genuinely from your heart. Oh, but ask. A bruised tree shall not break, and a smoking fly shall not put out. Mighty Jesus. Lift your heart and pray. Stop. A royal priest of a holy nation, God's own people call out of darkness. Hallelujah. Declare the glory of God. May they go with a blessing. May your people go full. To be vessels of honor for thy name and for thy glory. We want to thank you, O God, that it is your word that effectually works within us, both to will and to act for thy good pleasure. Your word declares you yourself will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank you, O God, that you are the pillar, you are the architect, and you are the very foundation of our lives. In your hands we commit our lives and this ministry. Bless us all, keep us faithful unto you. By your right hand, be over your people. Bless and keep them. Lord, even today as your minister, as your servant ministers, Lord, Dr. Benjamin ministers to the evening, Father, evening program. I pray that your hand will be upon him, and that you will minister through him. And your hands become our lives. Bless and keep us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So may Almighty God bless us, the Father. In his everlasting love and mercy, soak your very being. May you know there's a God in heaven who would love you to call him Father. Who has promised that even the mother should forsake her child, that he would never forsake us. May his tender love and mercy be the crown over your life. May the blood of his
His Son Jesus speak upon your life.
The word of the Lord says that whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains in the protection of the Almighty can say to Him, You are my defender and protector. You are my God. In You I trust. Amen. A thousand may fall beside a thousand around you, but will not happen to you. Amen. Because you are washed in His blood. May the tender word of God speak over your life. And may the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling grace and the power of God, and the revival fire of God rest upon you. Let you function in the fruit of the Spirit without joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and meekness, and self-control. And that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will manifest in your lives. And bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.